It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Winning Plays Podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider for the
All right, new edition of the Winning Plays Podcast, back yet again. My name is Brian Robb, joined by the one and only Tim McCone of 98.5 The Sports Hub. And I guess the lead story here, Tim, out of the gate, it's actually been a somewhat busy August for the Celts here. And we talked about this last week on your show on the Sports Hub, but Porzingis officially out of the World Cup. Plantar fasciitis. Celtics announced he's going to be good for training camp. I guess, do you look at this as a good news situation or a bad news situation, given the options at hand? Because I feel like you could easily take two theories with this injury at this point.
I know the good news is that you're not going to see him play any international basketball, right? So after the Gallinari fiasco last year, that's probably a positive. But I guess like this is what's kind of set in for me over the last week, B-Rob. Like this is what life is going to be like as a Celtics fan for the next a couple years. It's just going to be holding your breath constantly and going, please, can you just stay healthy for us? And that's kind of what you signed up for when you traded for a guy like Porzingis, who certainly. Is talented, no question about it, but the injury concerns for a 7'3 guy are real. And certainly when you're talking about a foot for a 7'3 guy, it's not ideal to start out. So the fact that we've already dove into life with Porzingis before training camp even kicked off in season one, it's a little unnerving, no question about it.
Like the over-under for games played together for Porzingis, Horford, and Rob Williams is, I think that like started the season at like 25 and it's already dropping. As far as the times three and four. So I agree. I mean, like that's the sobering reality of like, this is what life is going to be like. And I think the Celtics knew that, like when they're betting on the upside versus like knowing that this is going to be the reality of what has to be managed. Internally, I feel like they don't seem to be worried, or at least posturing, which is not a surprise because that's what they do. But it's like, I guess the glass half full take is like, okay, Porzingis, you know, these guys, especially these international European guys, they love to play in these tournaments. They hate to not like suit up for their countries, understandably so. And this was an out for them. Like, this is a way of being like, okay, this isn't too serious, but Kristaps, you could make this worse. We just gave you this extension. Why don't you like kind of take it easy for us here? And that way, you know, better odds you're healthy in May and June. And this was him kind of buying into that. So I guess that's the glass half full take. The glass half empty take is you're already dealing with this in the summer. Is this really going to go away during the season? Because like, to your point, big guys, foot injuries, I know you can rest right now, but like it's a condition that I feel like doesn't go away easily.
No, it doesn't. And look, I've gone through it before, but when you're talking about someone with Porzingis, like Porzingis isn't just like tall. He's freakishly tall for like NBA standards. He's like one of the top 25. You're talking 7'3 and above. You're talking about one of the tallest guys in the history of the league. And if you go down the history of those guys, you Rob, like that body type, and not necessarily one that you think is going to be the next AC Green in the NBA. So like, yeah, we're going to be dealing with like this type of stuff moving forward. And it's just something that you're going to have to monitor. I do think, you know, one of the other positives when we talk about this timeline too, is this, we're no longer talking about the Danny Ainge Celtics, where I'm still waiting for Garnett to come back in 09. I'm still waiting for Shaq to come back for the Celtics and stuff like that. So I do kind of believe in the timeline, but you're right. I do think this is something we're going to have to monitor long-term because, you know, again, when you're talking about the injury concerns for a guy of his size and that body type and his history, I think it's something that you're going to be, again, if you're a Celtics fan, holding your breath throughout the entirety of this contract. I really do.
And to me, I mean, looking ahead to the season now with him, say he, you know, he comes back, maybe they, he late start to training camp, but he's going to go over the season. How do you manage him during the season? Like, are you of the mind of being like, listen, back-to-backs are, I know you're 28, back-to-backs, they're out. Like, we're just not doing that. Do you have, or do you think of it more of like, oh, we'll just give him like a couple weeks off in the middle of the season just to like, you know, because why not? Because we can. Like, how would you kind of play that out? Or would you rather just say like, all right, you know your body here. Like, we'll obviously bench you when you need to be benched, but we're not going to, you know, be as proactive as we might be with, you know, Horford or Rob Williams as far as the injuries go. All right, let's take a break here to hear from our sponsor, FanDuel. Football season is about to kick off, and FanDuel is giving you the chance to win all season long. Because right now, when you bet on a Super Bowl winner, you get bonus bets every time they win in the regular season. So just pick any team to win the Super Bowl, and you'll get bonus bets for every victory. And you can use those bonus bets on spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. So just head over to FanDuel.com/Boston and start earning bonus bets with America's number one sportsbook. That's FanDuel.com/Boston. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, MA.org, or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY as well. 21 plus and present in select states. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus $50 unless specified otherwise. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with the Kansas Star Casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. 1-800-789-777 in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-522-4700. Or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, or visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming, or visit 1-800-gambler.net in West Virginia. And now back to the show.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind like a Horford light type schedule. So like maybe you can manage it a little bit, and there are certain back-to-backs or certain stretches where you want him in there. But, you know, if you decide that, you know, on a road trip here, he's not going to play in these back-to-backs, I have no issue with that at all. I do think managing these guys and getting to the finish line and getting them healthy. And look, you did a great job of that last year with Horford and Brogdon, and it instantly all fell apart. Brogdon goes down with the injury in the postseason. And, you know, Al Horford, kind of as a shell of himself by the end of that Philly series as well. But I do think managing those guys and doing your best to make sure that they're healthy, like, I don't think you can just roll the dice and say, like, listen to your body and we'll figure it out from here. So for a guy that doesn't like load management like me, I do think a big part of this Celtics season is going to be not only just managing Porzingis, but like you said, man, you are relying on like three unreliable guys in the front court. And I throw Horford in there simply because of his age, not the injury right. concerns, but Rob Williams, an aging Horford, and Porzingis. All right, like, here we go. Like, a big part, like, Mazzulla, there's a lot on his plate certainly this year, and I do think managing that front court is a big part of that.
Really is. And, like, so Porzingis, he played 32.6 minutes a game last year. That was close to his career high. His lowest was 29 with the Mavs and the Wizards in 21-22. I guess I would be shocked if he cracks 30 minutes per game. Like, probably you'd maybe even consider doing 28-29. And I guess that's going to be interesting to see, you know, who steps up and, like, is Brissett going to be the guy who kind of fills in those spots? Is Jordan Walsh going to surprise, maybe steal a few minutes at, like, power forward? Blake Griffin, obviously, we're waiting to hear on him. But it's clear now, like, they need one of the last two signs will clearly be another big here to the roster, and they're probably just waiting on Blake and then maybe jumping on another guy or two. And I honestly wouldn't be like getting another two-way guy. That's a big two. I think that's probably just a good idea just so you have that like kind of reinforcement and maybe a different, you know, type of player than a Luke Kornet of the world.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think when you kind of look at the roster moving forward, yeah, those are going to be two spots that I think make a lot of sense for the Celtics. And again, super talented, like you said, and this is kind of the deal when you acquired Porzingis, right? Huge swing, home run swing. But man, there's a huge a huge upside and a huge downside for bringing in a player like this.
Looking back on it now, clearly the extension for him was like part of the deal getting done, of being like, he probably doesn't opt in unless he's guaranteed those 2 more years. So that was like a, you know, behind the scenes type negotiations before that deal gets done. With the value of that, 2 years, $60 million, doesn't look outrageous when you look at like where contracts are going right now, but like it just kind of holds up in your mind now just how big of a swing this is in terms of like they don't have many chess moves left here with this core. Malcolm Brogdon and those future first round picks probably being the only big piece left now. But looking at it right now, like, do you like, you do, I know you've never been like a Porzingis guy. You were obviously on board with the moving part. Would you like, how does your stomach feel about all this right now in terms of giving him that extension with this already playing out as it is? Would you be like, you go back a month knowing they still have the couple first round picks in the bag still to use? Do you still feel good about like where their standing is right now?
I feel terrible about it. Yeah, no, I just think, no, because I think this is like what we've had over the last week is what life is going to be like. And so I do think like the thing that I think the Celtics kind of looked at too, you go back and you look at the package that you got for Marcus Smart, 2 first rounders and a guy that averages 23-8, like you're not getting anything bigger than that. And so if you're trying to win a championship, I understand like the thought process there is let's put together the best possible team we can with the most upside and hope that he stays healthy. But you're also banking on Porzingis being Porzingis of last year and not necessarily the Porzingis that we saw in Dallas. And so that's, or going down with an injury as well. So we'll see kind of what happens. I'm with you, like, and you nailed it. I was ready to move off of Marcus Smart, but can my stomach take necessarily life with Porzingis? I guess we're going to find out. Well, I guess we're going to find out. Not a good start, though. Not a good start.
No, but I mean, It'll be funny. Like in hindsight, I'll be like, oh man, it's so great. Like we'll look at this in a year, and be like, man, that was so great that he didn't play in the World Cup. Like that would have like huge move, or being like, oh, that foreshadowed just like a disaster. Yeah. Like a few months here, where once if Rob Williams comes down with something in camp, and then Porzingis still isn't ready yet, and then you're just looking at like, okay, Luke Kornet starting center. All right, but it is. It's just kind of wow just to see like it. You know. They, and again, they can address this. They still have chips to move. Like you wonder now in terms of like, I think an in-season trade was never going to be a surprise given the picks that they've stockpiled over the last few months. But the onus on it, like how much they need it to happen, is going to be fascinating to see, you know, based again on how this injury looks, how these other guys look coming out of camp, and how the things kind of roll together here. It's, I don't know, it's between what he was last year in Washington versus the fact that Dallas literally just gave him away a couple years ago. It's like, I know he was coming off an injury then, but the swing, like the extremes there, are just kind of wild to think about.
No question. And look, like the fit in Dallas wasn't great for him, so I understand all that, no doubt. But yeah, I mean, the upside and the downside, it's the Brad Stevens. I would give Brad Stevens credit. He has gone for it. No question about it. And I'm with you too. I do think the deadline this year is going to be a big, big spot for the Boston Celtics as well. No question about that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, so FIBA World Cup action, no Porzingis, O'Shea Brissett, also out of action for Team Canada for knee injury, so no Celtics to watch. But we did get the schedule to come out on Thursday, McCone. We didn't even get 82 games because they don't announce a couple of games because of the in-season tournament now. Opening up against the Knicks at MSG on October 25th, some big games against the Lakers on Christmas Day. Some really long, some kind of absurd road trips. What, if anything, kind of stuck out to you about this schedule in terms of games you're circling or just, you know, stretches that you think are going to be pivotal to this season here?
Yeah, well, you mentioned that West Coast swing there where I think you close it out against the Lakers on Christmas Day, but that's kind of a murderer's row out West in December that you're going up against. So I think that's going to be certainly a fun time for Celtics fans to kind of stay up late and watch those games because there are some big matchups out there for sure. You dive right into this thing like that the start of your schedule is fun. No question about it. And then you've also got the Marcus Smart. I think, what is it? November 17th, I want to say, is the first game.
Yeah.
Against Marcus Smart. So I'll be interested to see that one. But I think the headliner for the entire NBA and for the entire league is the in-season tournament. And I've gone full circle on this, B-Rob. I thought it was the corniest thing of all time when they first announced this thing. And now I like it. I like it. I'm into it. Look, unless you are a huge NBA fan, the regular season can be a slog, no question about it. And I think this is an opportunity here for the league as a whole to kind of drum up some interest in the regular season. And if it doesn't work, whatever, no harm. And if it does, I think you've just added some intrigue to your actual schedule. And the way that they've kind of set this up, I think is going to be fun. I think it's going to be cool to see. Certainly the group stage, and then if you advance and then you're in the knockout round and we kind of go NCAA tournament from there on out, I think that for NBA fans, I think it'll be fun. And I kind of go back to like college, like, look, the Maui, some of these other in-season tournaments, it's cool if your team wins them. And it doesn't feel necessarily hokey in college for sure. And it's not like you're walking around going, we just won the PK85, our season is made here. But it is cool to go up against some of these big-time teams with a little something on the line. So I think it's going to work for the NBA. I'm excited to see kind of how it plays out.
Yeah, so the Celtics, there's four games, and how it works essentially is, and I like how the NBA kind of set this up, is there are select nights on Tuesdays and Fridays in November that are just tournament game nights. So you know everyone that's playing that night, like they're in group play. And then there's a week set out in December where it's, you know, the knockout round from top eight advance and then quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals with the last two taking place in Vegas. And then they, you know, other teams are going to play games on off nights there when regular season games. So it's going to get a little complicated, like that part of it in terms of like figuring the schedule. But I'm with you. It's like it's November, dog days. NFL is king in the fall. And so I think the NBA realizes that and be like, okay, how can we like maybe try to spice it up a little bit so we can get some eyeballs on, you know, off nights for the NFL here, which is like that Tuesday and Friday. I think there's no coincidence that they picked non-NFL game nights, which are becoming fewer and far between. I think we'll be being seven games a week in the NFL by, you know, the time they expand to 18 games here, probably in a couple of years. But yeah, it's like, why not? And spice up a little bit. I think the cash involved, $500K to the winners for every player in the team, like, it's not going to be anything to Tatum and Brown, but like you talk to Sam Hauser or Payne Pritchard, yeah, like that's like, you know, 15% of their salary for the season. So it's like, I think there's enough juice there where you'll get some better basketball than you would on a random Tuesday night otherwise.
Yeah. And I just think, like you said too, like November regular season back, like the excitement of the start of the season is kind of over at that point. And, you know, if you can get some excitement here and make, extend sort of the importance of the regular season a little bit for the NBA, I think it's a good idea by them. And I was leading the charge saying this is the corniest thing of all time when I first heard it announced. And I've completely switched teams here. And I think it's a nice idea by the league. And I think it's proactive in terms of trying to, again, make the product a little better and a little more exciting. And I don't think that there's a downside to that for the league. I really don't. I don't.
So obviously, we keep an eye on November. Other parts of the Celtics schedule here, I'm fascinated by this incredible road trip in March, McCone, where it starts in Detroit, Chicago, and then they're in Atlanta for 5 days. They have a back-to-back against Atlanta, but it's on a Monday and a Thursday. So they literally are going to be hanging out. And the best part of that is the Hawks play another – I think they play the Blazers in between those two games at home. So they – it's not even a back-to-back for them against the Celtics. So the Celtics are going to be able to, you know, practice, probably see the entire town. I don't know what type of tours you can do in Atlanta. maybe they'll go on a strip club tour or something like that during that time down there. But it's just a wild schedule quirk in that stretch, and then wrap up in New Orleans and Charlotte. That's a 6-game trip. They have another 5-game trip earlier in March. So I honestly, March is like a complete bear as far as they only, I think it's like 5 home games, 11 road games before closing things up with 6 or 7 of home in April. So you wonder, as far as the standings go, as far as like resting guys go, this is clearly another year where they'll probably want to get a lot of work done early. So that you're not, you know, trying to play catch up to get to a, you know, top 2 or 3 seed by the time those road trips roll around.
I guess my intrigue with the schedule too is kind of there are still some moving parts here in terms of other teams. And so like how much juice some of these matchups actually have, I think it's going to be interesting as well. Like if Lillard does wind up in Miami, let's say, and all of a sudden that team looks a little bit different, or in who the hell knows. Look, we spent the first 20 minutes bitching and moaning about like, oh man, this Porzingis stuff. It's so tough to be a Celtics fan. At least you're not a 76ers fan right now, because your whole organization could be up in flames here the next couple of weeks. So, you know, we'll see what those matchups against the 76ers look like. I mean, if both of those guys are potentially out the door, even if it's just Embiid, that looks a lot different on your schedule than what it would if both of those guys were playing for Philadelphia. So again, we'll kind of see what takes place there, but I do still think there are some moving parts in terms of some of these matchups to come, no question.
That's a good point. How do you think this Harden situation plays out, for the record?
I'll be honest with you. I'm fascinated by the whole thing because if what some of the reports are that say that maybe there was a max deal, wink, wink, nod, nod, behind the scenes that was given to Harden last offseason by Daryl Morey, and then they try to back out of it. I think you're in a situation where, and look, this is, I think there are two different situations when you talk about the Blazers, B-Rob, and the 76ers. Like, if you're the Blazers and you want to move off of your franchise piece in Damian Lillard, I don't think you should do him any favors, because I don't think there's any benefit for the organization to do that. Free agents aren't going to suddenly be picking the Blazers because you handled the Damian Lillard situation better, right?
Right.
But if you're the 76ers and you essentially did a bait and switch with James Harden and that contract, and you kind of screwed him and his agent over, I think it's going to be really hard to do business moving forward if you're that team and you don't kind of follow through with that. So I would imagine that Harden would be out the door. And I don't know truly, and I'm a big Daryl Morey fan. I thought he did an unbelievable job in Houston, and a lot of the stuff that he kind of preaches, I agree with in terms of roster building. But I don't know how you could move forward with that guy either, because I don't know what relationships you would have with agents or players across the rest of the league in terms of just, you know, trust and belief. And again, just kind of, you know, good working relationships if you actually pulled a move off like that. Like that's a one-time type of move. And I don't think there's a lot of pivot points off of that for him.
Yeah, and then you have the pressure, unlike you said with Portland, like you have the pressure of Embiid playing there too, being like, you can't. Yeah. Like the Blazers, they can be patient here. Like even if Miami is the ultimate destination, like there's no harm in waiting it out, making them, you know, squeeze as much as you can out of them. Maybe something happens to another team where you get another suitor involved. But with Philly, the urgency is now. Like there's not a lot of wiggle room there. I mean, it's under contract, I think, like maybe 2 or 3 more years, but like he's, you know, again, still hasn't gotten to the freaking conference finals here. So you look at how this goes with Harden, like you said, how it could influence other guys wanting to go there if they think, even if it wasn't amazing, if it appears to be one, like some certain guys, like, you know, you saw like Kyrie like sniping at like Woj, like these guys carry weight with some players around the league. And so that's the type of stuff you wonder, like if they're just trying to set up for cap room for next year, like it's one thing to have cap room now, it's another thing to actually like be able to do something with it.
I just look at, by the way, like the two organizations and the roster building and the way that you kind of went about these rebuilds in Philadelphia and Boston. And man, for everything and the process and all those high picks, like I always talk about this, but like, yes, the Brooklyn trade was a home run, worked out exactly, probably better than you even could have imagined. But to still walk away with two of those players, I mean, when you look at what Philadelphia ultimately walked away with all those picks and all those high picks that they had, B-Rob, it's unbelievable what the Celtics were able to pull off in terms of their their roster building and their drafting versus what Philadelphia did with the process and the years of just tanking and picking high in the draft and all that stuff. It's wild to me. Absolutely wild.
The oral history of those 10 years is going to be something whenever someone writes like from the Drew Holiday Fultz trade to.
Yeah. Drew Holiday, but like Fultz, Okafor. I mean, Nerlens Noel, you could kind of throw in there, but yep. Ben Simmons, like all these guys they took high in the draft. And then, you know, that clip kind of went viral this week too of Danny Ainge talking about the trades that you don't make as well. But like, man, if like you were able to pull off the Justice Winslow deal, like it's totally differently. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh man. We'll never forget it that night. all right. That's Tim McCone. Make sure you're following him on Twitter at Tim_McCone on 95 The Sports Hub. Regularly throughout these summer days, you're doing Pat's pre and post this weekend, right? That's
yes, your, yeah, big spot
game coming up.
Yep, exactly. It's all the scrubs for game two on the field and off the field. Oh, so there you go.
Come on. all right, make sure you're checking out Tim there and all the stuff on the Sports Hub and on Twitter. We'll be back with you guys next week to see again the Celtics August news flow. Usually we expect it to be slow, but it's been flown out of the faucet here. So we'll see what's up next for next week. And we'll talk to you guys then.